Hey, Hemp Rockers, you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on WVQC.org. WVQC, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views of WVQC, Media Bridges, its staff, or its board of trustees. The opinions expressed reflect the views of Hemp Rock Radio or our guests. Thanks for listening to Hemp Rock Radio.
I smoke two joints in the morning. I smoke two joints at night. I smoke two joints in the afternoon. It makes me feel alright. I smoke two joints in time of peace and two in time of war. I smoke two joints before I smoke two joints, and then I smoke two more. Hard work good and hard work fine, but first take care of health. So now I smoke two joints when I get up. In the car I smoke two joints. I smoke two joints when I play video game, and at every 10,000 points I smoke two joints. I smoke two joints in time of peace and two in time of war. I smoke two joints before I smoke two joints.
It's the Monday edition, and welcome to Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress and the Burn Man here on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC-LP, the voice of the Queen City on WVQC.org, and coming soon to 95.7 FM. Find us online at HempRock.com and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line at 513-684-HEMP. That's 684-HEMP.
Hard work good and hard work fine, but first take care of head. That's why I smoke two joints in the morning. I smoke two joints at night. I smoke two joints in the afternoon. It makes me feel alright.
Hemp Rock Radio with all things hemp, marijuana, the drug war, and more, including music, news, talk, and lots of fun here on the all-new WVQC Cincinnati.
That's what I do.
Hey, if you just tuned in, this is the Happy Hemptress on Hemp Rock Radio, and this is a recorded show for Martin Luther King Day. Hope everybody has a great holiday. Stay tuned. This recorded show is an edited version of the California Committee, who on this past Tuesday of last week, on the 12th, voted to push forward to assembly to legalize and tax and regulate marijuana. Stay tuned and listen to what happened in California. And we'll see you tomorrow, Tuesday, for the Tuesday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with Dr. Roland Haney for the second edition of Talking About Addiction.
Good morning. Welcome to the Public Safety Committee of the Assembly. We have an exciting agenda this morning. Mr. Jared Huffman has been appointed to the committee this morning by Speaker Bass, and I'd like to call the committee to order. If we could have roll call, please. All right. First item on the agenda is AB 390, and I'm going to turn the chairmanship over to my esteemed colleague, Vice Chair Hagman, and go down to the pit.
Quorum, Mr. Chairman. Go ahead and do your presentation.
Thank you very much, Mr. Vice Chair and members. I present you to you AB 390, the landmark legislation to legalize and regulate marijuana. The bill would open the door to legal cultivation, transportation, sales, and use of marijuana for recreational purposes. In doing so, we would establish a $50 per ounce fee on every ounce of marijuana sold in the state. That money would fund drug and alcohol programs statewide. The Board of Equalization has estimated that this fee would generate nearly $1 billion annually. Given the current and ongoing budget crisis, any significant source of revenue, of course, is very important. Additionally, this bill would leave law enforcement to focus on important crimes. Most Californians have used marijuana, and most Californians would want law enforcement to put their efforts toward serious crimes to end violence, theft, and hard drugs. The drug wars have failed. Prohibition has fostered anarchy in the marijuana market. Legalization would allow regulation, and regulation would restore order. There are a myriad of reasons to support this legislation on marijuana. I started the conversation a year ago and have helped to raise some of the reasons over the past year. With me today are Stephen Willing from the Drug Policy Alliance and Aaron Smith from the Marijuana Policy Project. The bill has support from the Sheriff of San Francisco, the Public Defender of San Francisco, AFSCME, ACLU, AFL-CIO, Normal Drug Policy Alliance, Marijuana Policy Project, Courage Campaign, Taxpayers for Improving Public Safety, and many other organizations and countless Californians. I'd like to present my witnesses in support, if I may, Mr. Vice Chair.
Absolutely. Please continue.
I'm Aaron Smith, California Director for the Marijuana Policy Project. We'd like to thank Mr. Amiano for introducing this bold legislation, which we strongly support because it would finally put California on track towards having a marijuana policy that's sensible, results-based, and in line with the views of most California voters who overwhelmingly know that prohibition has failed. Prohibition has failed to stop or curb marijuana use and availability. According to U.S. government data, about 1 in 10 Californians now admit to having used marijuana in the past year. And at about $14 billion annually, marijuana has become the state's largest cash crop. This legislation would end the insane policy of allowing this huge market to go completely unregulated and free of taxes. AB 390 would institute a strict regulatory scheme for marijuana sales, similar to that which already exists for the much more dangerous drug of alcohol. Passing this legislation will reduce teen availability to marijuana. Under the current policy of blanket prohibition, more California teens report using marijuana than tobacco. This is the inevitable result of allowing this market to be in the hands completely of criminals with no incentive to card for age. AB 390, on the other hand, would require licensed vendors to prevent anyone under 21 from buying marijuana, which, just as we see with California, has seen sales to tobacco to minors reduced dramatically as a result of the strict controls we have on tobacco. Additionally, AB 390 would fund drug education and treatment programs that, unlike prohibition, have proven effective at keeping teens away from drugs. Prohibition has not only failed to achieve its goal, but it's also brought on great societal costs, significantly more harmful than marijuana itself. Under prohibition, just as under alcohol prohibition of the 1920s, many of the enterprising criminals seeking to make profit in the vast underground market for marijuana are willing to go to any lengths, even kill, to protect those profits. Whether it be the Mexican drug cartels or syndicates originating here in the U.S., the prohibition-fueled market is a serious risk to the California public. Bootleg-style marijuana grows in our parks and wilderness areas, threaten not only our ecology, but hikers and nature enthusiasts. The White House Office of National Drug Control Policy has estimated that Mexican drug cartels rely on illegal marijuana for upwards of 70% of their revenue. Repealing prohibition would end this dangerous situation by creating a legal, regulated market, just as we did with alcohol in 1933. And it absolutely makes sense for California to get out in front with this solution to the national crisis, and AB 390 does just that. After all, there's no coincidence that Mexican cartels aren't killing each other over the beer trade or growing wine grapes in our national forests. Finally, by ending the criminalization of millions of responsible adult marijuana consumers, AB 390 will restore respect for the rule of law. This legislation gives California an opportunity to be a leader in the nation towards a new and effective marijuana policy rather than what it is today, which is the embodiment of everything that's wrong with the old ineffectual one. And that's why we urge your support today. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Stephen Gutwillig. I'm the California State Director of the Drug Policy Alliance. I want to thank Assemblymember Amiano and the members of the committee for the opportunity to address you this morning and to urge your support of Assembly Bill 390, which represents a historic reversal of failed marijuana policies. As Aaron just described, whether we like it or not, marijuana is a widely used recreational drug. So changing our approach to marijuana would not add another intoxicant for the state to address. Actually, just the opposite. AB 390 would begin to control a substance that is already commonly available and consumed, but completely unregulated. In fact, our approach to marijuana really has to change, because prohibition has created enormous social costs and jeopardized public safety instead of enhancing it. Much like alcohol prohibition, banning marijuana outright has fueled a massive, increasingly violent underground market that guarantees immense profits to criminal syndicates. Moreover, marijuana prohibition wastes hundreds of millions of dollars of scarce law enforcement resources, focusing not on high-level manufacturers and traffickers, but on low-level, nonviolent users. 78,000 Californians were arrested for marijuana offenses in 2008 alone, four-fifths of them for simple possession. One out of every four arrests in California is for marijuana possession. Compounding the social harms of these mass arrests, criminalizing marijuana consumers creates substantial racial disparities. African Americans in California have triple the likelihood of being arrested for a marijuana offense, despite comparable or even lower rates of consumption. Stringently enforcing marijuana prohibition does not produce reductions in violent or property crimes, but instead diverts limited resources from more effective, proven policing strategies. AB 390 will allow law enforcement to better address serious crimes like driving under the influence, and it will help narrow the disturbing gap in unsolved violent crimes statewide. Marijuana is not a harmless drug, but we can't arrest our way out of those problems. Regulating alcohol and tobacco, which are objectively more harmful than marijuana, has succeeded in reducing the harms they cause. And finally, this is also fundamentally a matter of individual privacy, that people who aren't hurting anyone should simply be left alone. It's time to bring marijuana out of the underground economy, regulate it appropriately, and redirect criminal justice resources to matters of real public safety. Thank you.
Mr. Chair and members, Matt Gray, on behalf of Taxpayers for Improving Public Safety, we support the bill for three primary reasons. One, that this is California's largest cash crop. And by legalizing it, essentially, we will remove a major revenue stream for organized crime. By regulating it as provided in this measure, we will remove it from the availability of youth and minors. We have simply found the arguments that that regulating as such is going to lead to some sort of increase in illegal cultivation is just not compelling, considering the path that we've gone with alcohol and how it's not illegally bootlegged anymore here, tobacco, how we don't have illegal bootlegging or avoidance of the tax stamps or anything here in California, and we don't think that it's going to happen with marijuana either, and we ask for your support.
Thank you. Any questions? If not, we'll have any other witnesses for the bill.
Thank you, Kathleen. Mr. Chairman and members, Francisco Labaco, on behalf of the American Civil Liberties Union, for all the very articulate reasons stated, we strongly support the bill and urge you to move the bill out of committee. Thank you.
Ignacio Hernandez, on behalf of the California Attorneys for Criminal Justice, in support of the bill.
Anyone else? Any questions? We'll move on to opposition, please.
Mr. Vice Chair, if I may I ask a courtesy, and it seemed that the presentation in support took about 10 minutes. Perhaps we could deal with that.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah, we didn't cut anybody off at equitable, all. No time constraints whatsoever, so we're just going to let it go.
Thank you for the consideration.
I'm not sure who's starting off over here.
Okay. I'm starting. Good morning. I'm Andrea Barthwell. I'm a physician. I work in the area of addiction medicine. I run a treatment program in North Carolina. I live in Chicago. And I was a former deputy director for demand reduction at the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy. I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak here today, though it is with a very heavy heart that I've traveled here to address this committee. The eyes of America are on you. We've taken California's lead on a number of health trends. At this time, when we're focused on health care reform and how to finance these much-needed reforms, we don't want you to fail us and set us on a course that worsens the health of Americans for generations to come. You Californians have taught us how to eat healthy, control exposure to secondhand smoke, limit emissions from vehicles, and give pedestrians the right of way. However, today you contemplate making marijuana legal with a flawed scheme to tax and regulate it, a scheme that will benefit drug cartel kingpins and corner drug dealers while it increases the burden of public safety system, creates chaos in the healthcare delivery system, and devastates the public health system of California. 6 years ago, right after I left the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy, where I advised the administration on policies to prevent, intervene, and treat drug use and addiction, I participated in a press conference with Peter Benzinger, the former director of the DEA. At that press conference, designed to highlight the dangers of marijuana, Mr. Benzinger said, "The push for legalized so-called medical marijuana is part of a sinister strategy by a group called the National Association for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, NORML, that is bent on legalizing marijuana in this country. The goal of this superfunded group is to make a dangerous drug available to those who want it. NORML and similar or affiliated groups thrive on myths and lies. Their tactics have been well practiced. They have used the pain and suffering of patients to gain attention, sympathy, and credibility for the cause of so-called medical marijuana. The next step on their political agenda will be to legalize marijuana, making it available to our children." There have been times when I felt that my colleagues sometimes went a little too far in connecting the dots, thinking that these groups would never get anyone to consider their attempts to outright legalization of marijuana and all other drugs. Until today, I believe that rational people would agree that no child, no family, no state, no country is better off with more drugs. But I was wrong. These proposals based upon talking points without details, distortions of the truth, misattributions, and flawed logic are getting a serious review here in California. And people here in California and all over the country are afraid. Previously, there was a point made about prohibition and how it failed. Prohibition occurred in this country when alcohol was legal everywhere else in the world. That put it out of sync with availability worldwide. Prohibition of marijuana is consistent with the international management of that material. We're afraid that California will have this leveraged in the same way that the medical marijuana initiative in California has been leveraged to create a sense that these are reasonable policies and that because 12 or 13 or 14 states are doing something, it's greater than the 36 that are not. Public health advocates such as myself who have worked on increasing the public's awareness of the harms and dangers of marijuana know the value of control strategies. Slowly, over the past two decades, we have seen significant reductions in the use of tobacco and alcohol and their associated morbidity and mortality. These associated reductions in morbidity and mortality with tobacco and alcohol have come from public health advocates pushing public safety policies in a system to bring the control of tobacco and alcohol under a system that matches the control of marijuana that you're talking about lifting. We've worked closely with our public safety colleagues to enforce laws that attempt to age-restrict access through the outlets selling these products. For example, the Monitoring the Future study showed us that 52% of eighth graders had used alcohol, 41% of eighth graders had used tobacco, but only 20% of eighth graders had used marijuana. Control of marijuana is working for our young people. Prohibition is working. 75% of 12th graders said that they had had a drink of alcohol in the last 30 days, but only 38% had said that they had used marijuana. And the age of initiation for alcohol is lower than it is for marijuana. prohibition is working to keep our young people drug-free. We know that as the cost of these products increase by taxation, alcohol and tobacco, drug use of alcohol and tobacco decreases, and we've worked closely when we've had taxation act as a disincentive to use with our public safety colleagues to close black market distribution chains that try to expand when increased taxation occurs. We are aware that unless and until we make all drugs of the highest potency free, there will still be a black market. We are aware that making marijuana a commercially available product, one that needs advertising to market to recruit new users and to compete for the users' dollars, we will not eliminate the cost of containment of all other drugs. There will be no savings to drug containment by making marijuana regulated, because we have all the other drugs that will continue to need to be contained. And in fact, by taxing and regulating and making marijuana commercially available in California, it will help the drug cartels raise more money to do more of the stuff on what you call the hard drug size. We're bracing ourselves for the recommendations that we should stop all containment effort because it costs too much to keep our children drug-free and healthy, that it costs too much to keep the people who drive their school buses drug-free, that it costs too much to keep the people who teach them drug-free, that it costs too much to keep the people who interact with them or even bear them drug-free and off marijuana. But it costs too much not to do so. Public health and public safety advocates have worked together to create a system that attempts to help us cope with the consequences of two legal substances which are used in much greater amounts than the illicit ones. We have barely responded to the rising tide of prescription drug abuse. Alcohol and tobacco certainly pose significant risks, especially to young people. Fortunately, because of the legal settlements and vigorous public education efforts, many Americans are aware of the dangers of dependence and addiction associated with alcohol and tobacco use. Far too many are unaware of the pernicious effects of marijuana. In fact, they have been party to a public information campaign that has gone on for years that pushes the notion that alcohol is far more harmful than marijuana. It is patently untrue. So before you take the action today to move this out of committee, we need to have answered, how will the systems and we cope with as many or more people smoking marijuana daily than do tobacco and use alcohol? Where will the money come from for that? We are a long way from determining the appropriate controls on quantity and frequency of marijuana use in the same way we have for alcohol, so that our recommendations to the public are rational. For example, we know to recommend that no use of alcohol if pregnant and 0.08 blood alcohol content causes impairment that in California is punishable under the DUI laws. But what about marijuana? What blood marijuana level would cause impairment that should stop the user from driving your child's school bus?
I do have a lot of witnesses here, so just try to wrap that up. And plus, I want to remind everyone, this is double referred to the Health Committee, so a lot of these health arguments are going to be issued over there, too, please.
Okay. If you don't study the questions about how you're going to recommend its use, you're going to, by the time science catches up with California's reality, there may be too much death and destruction to tolerate as your legacy. It is a fact that the legalization of marijuana will increase its use, and legalization only traps more children. Until we educate people to avoid drugs, including all the disincentives that come with making use and distribution illegal, there will always be crime and drug dealers. It is a fact that crime would increase in California. Most crime in America is state-level crime. Roughly 80% of state crime nationwide is based on three categories: crime committed by those on drugs, by those with insatiable appetites who want more drugs than they can afford, and those who distribute large quantities of highly pure drug. Legalization would not only increase the number of Californians on drugs and crimes committed by those who are on drugs, and could never stem the insatiable appetite for addictive substances or black market distributions. I ask that you review the tiny bit of information that I'm going to be providing to you in a written form before you make your decision, so that you can make the best decision for Californians. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I am Susan Mannheimer. I'm the Chief of Police in San Mateo. I am the President-elect of the California Police Chiefs Association. Police chiefs are the primary providers of frontline public safety in California. We are responsible for providing the frontline public safety for over 78% of Californians and for our communities. The vicissitudes of the economy have turned, in fact, to downturn in resources and diminishing resources for that frontline law enforcement. I can tell you categorically that the legalization of marijuana will only increase the challenges facing us, and even more importantly, the legalization of marijuana will impact the levels of safety and service we provide to the community and the levels of health and welfare in that community. I want to ask each member to clearly and deeply weigh the following. What good can come from making powerful addictive drugs more cheaply available and societally acceptable? What good can come from a bill that would impose a $100 fine for illegal grows that are now plaguing our communities and the cartels that control them? What good will come from imposing a $100 fine for providing marijuana to the youth, our future? Don't we have enough trouble with the two legal drugs and mind-altering substances, as well as the health benefits and the public safety impacts of alcohol and tobacco? Haven't we all seen firsthand friends and relatives who have succumbed to chronic illness from using these drugs? And who among us has not watched as friends or loved ones lost their family, livelihood, dignity, and even their lives to alcohol abuse? Why would anyone propose adding to our nation's dependence on mind-altering substances, a move that will surely increase drug use and addiction in our communities? I would like to have you keep in mind now that the marijuana of today is not the dope that the parents smoked back in the 70s and 80s. The THC levels of the marijuana of today is over 150% more potent than the marijuana back then. And who's to say what else is in these substances? I don't believe that Procter & Gamble or Pfizer is going to be in the marijuana cultivation, standardization, and testing business. When people are under the influence of any intoxicant, and we have enough public safety problems, as I've already stated, from the legal intoxicants, they clearly make bad choices, and their inhibitions are lowered. Choices that hurt themselves, choices that hurt others, and place increasing burdens on the criminal justice system. Interesting to think that adding additional intoxicants will only increase the level of drug driving, the level of youth unprotected sex, and delinquent behavior in our young people. The proponents would have you believe that somehow the passage of AB 390 will wipe out all criminal trafficking in marijuana. Such a position is not only naive, but patently dangerous. In the Netherlands, the number one organized crime enterprises involving in the drug trade have increased 30-fold since the nation legalized marijuana use. And their cafes have run rampant. In fact, they are looking at controlling and cutting down on them. Under AB 390, those that provide the majority of marijuana to the state of California are the drug controls who have so much invested in marijuana cultivation. Do we think they're merely going to go away because it has now been legalized or decriminalized? No, they will be strengthened and find ways to use fronts to become legal cultivators. These are the same cartels that are causing havoc and public safety impacts throughout the country. They are given the ridiculously low penalties for illegal cultivation and will simply not only keep doing what they're doing, but I say to you that they will proliferate. What AB 390 will bring about is a quantum increase in the availability of marijuana. Under AB 390, every liquor store, every supermarket with a full liquor license will be able to sell marijuana as a matter of right. Such an increase in availability will inevitably result in increased marijuana use and widespread availability, as we have seen with alcohol and tobacco and other substances, will only ensure that it gets more appropriately into the hands of those who can do the most damage with it, which are our youth. Proponents would say, so what? Increased use will mean increased money for the state's coffers. What's the harm? To balance the budget on the backs of the harm caused by illegal intoxicants is mind-boggling, to say the least, and I would call it blood money. First, let's debunk the myth that the marijuana tax, so-called tax, will increase the state's coffers. The RAND study has debunked that myth, and frankly, we believe that there will be more impacts in both health and public safety costs to our community, to say nothing of drug driving accidents. That was the experience in Alaska, where their failed attempt in decriminalizing marijuana for adults resulted in a use among minors that was double the rest of the state once they had decriminalized it. Is there anyone in this room who thinks that increased marijuana use amongst minors is a good idea? I know you're going to try and get this to the Health Committee. I can't wait to hear, to have you all hear what the devastating impacts to the health are of this substance, including the carcinogen and other effects.
I have a lot of witnesses. I'm going to ask you that.
Thank you. Let's look at the increase in crimes associated with drug use and understand that AB 390 does not grant money to people to buy these drugs. Because they're now legalized, that doesn't mean that the addicting properties won't cause more crimes as people struggle to find the money to buy marijuana. We will see an increase in those crimes which we know are correlated and associated with drug use, auto burglaries, robberies, residential burglaries. And again, let's talk to Alaska about why they have recriminalized the use of marijuana. Third, plan on the school dropout rate increasing. And the fact is, don't be surprised if violent crimes increase. I know everyone says marijuana does nothing but make a person mellow. The problem with this is that it's simply not true. In 2002, a British study published in Criminal Behavior and Mental Health concluded that persons with marijuana dependence were more likely to engage in violent behavior than those who were not marijuana users. We already see this with domestic violence cases and with other cases amongst teen-on-teen violence, and we are very concerned about this. The proponents will have you say that none of this matters, that we will make money and we will have more resources. Why, ladies and gentlemen, would we have more resources to fight the crimes that will come from the increase in the use of marijuana and other mind-altering substances? Finally, as a 25-year law enforcement veteran and a mother of two, I am alarmed by the dramatic increase in efforts to legalize or decriminalize powerful and dangerous drugs, including marijuana. I am surprised that the drumbeat of the drug legalizers sounding an alarm that the drug war has failed, as you have just heard from our previous speaker, in fact it has not, but has continued to suppress the use of marijuana amongst our youth. And I am appalled by the suggestion that legalizing and taxing marijuana is a smart way to close the government budget gap, impacting our health, our safety, and our public welfare. Don't sell out our youth and our future for this ill-conceived and misguided attempt to increase legal intoxicants in our communities. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Will do. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Bob Cook. I'm a past president of the California Narcotic Officers Association, representing over 8,000 law enforcement officers from virtually every law enforcement agency in this state. I'm also the regional director for the National Narcotic Enforcement Association Coalition, which represents more than 66,000 law enforcement officers across the United States. This is very dangerous work that we do, and it's evidenced by the fact that when you go across the street to the Peace Officers Memorial Wall, you'll see 80 of our members' names, including two of our past presidents. We are strongly opposed to AB 390. We see absolutely no benefit to our communities, our families, or our children from the legalization of this mind-altering drug. We already have significant social and public safety problems caused by alcohol abuse, pharmaceutical abuse, and tobacco actually kills people. Given those realities, what earthly good is served by adding yet another mind-altering substance to the array of substances that can be legally compromise a person's five senses? Into that bargain, marijuana is also carcinogenic. It's already registered carcinogen with the state of California pursuant to Prop 65. And according to Dr. Robert DuPont of the Georgetown University Medical School, marijuana contains 50 to 70% more cancer-causing hydrocarbons than tobacco smoke. If we're trying to raise more revenue for the state, it may be safer just to bring back cigarette vending machines. The argument that legalization of marijuana will result in a financial windfall to the state is deeply offensive. Although the RAND Corporation already debunked that claim on the October 28th informational hearing, the mere consideration of attempting to trade human misery for tax dollars smacks of a cynical throwing away of countless human beings. The social costs of the state of California for tobacco and alcohol top $350 million a year, although we generate from the sales of those substances only $19 million. I suppose those legalization advocates have not weighed or don't care about the increases in government spending for public safety, health, psychiatric services, and education that would result from increased marijuana use. And to those who say we're spending too much on incarcerating drug offenders, we in law enforcement know that is simply not true. Drug offenders that do find their way to prison have certainly earned that right by selling or possessing drugs for sale or because of extensive past criminal conduct. In California, no one goes to prison for mere marijuana possession. Here's what we know will happen with legalization. First, marijuana use among juveniles will increase. We've already spoken about Alaska and what happened. That was the canary in the coal mine. They decriminalized possession of marijuana from 78 to 1990. Inevitably, marijuana use among minors soared. In fact, in the 1985 household survey found that the 51.6% of Alaskan teens used marijuana, a figure that was double the marijuana use among teens anywhere else. This is one of the major factors that led to Alaska abandoning decriminalization in 1990. Second, organized criminal enterprise will flourish. In Amsterdam, another canary in the coal mine, when marijuana cafes first legalized, there were three criminal enterprises operating in the Netherlands. The opening of these cafes caused organized criminal enterprises from all over Europe to enter the Netherlands, intent on grabbing a share of the marijuana cafe action. Today, there are 90 criminal enterprises operating there. Third, California will become a source nation for marijuana for the rest of the country. Already we have that dubious distinction for methamphetamine, something this committee declined to address last year. And it's simply naive to believe that the major drug cartels that currently control marijuana cultivation will simply go away if AB 390 were to become law. In fact, given the significantly lower penalties I've discussed earlier, those cartels will thrive. Fourth, highway fatalities will rise. We've already got significant problems with drug driving. Drug driving already kills about 8,000 Americans a year and maims another 500,000. We can expect an exponential increase in drug driving fatalities if AB 390 were to become law. Let me leave you with one final thought, not to repeat anything. I've spent my entire adult life in this beautiful state. I've raised my 5 children and I have 10 grandchildren. We must protect our youth and our communities and promote safe, drug-free environments by protecting ourselves from organized efforts to normalize illegal drug use. Thank you for your time.
Sir. Good morning, Mr. Chair. Good morning, members of this committee. My name is Bishop Dr. Ron Allen. I am the CEO and President of the International Faith-Based Coalition. I represent all denominations. You know, I thought when I was asked to testify that I would prepare a paper, be professional, jot down talking points. And then it dawned on me, I live it every day. I don't need to write down talking points. I see the devastation of marijuana and the devastation of drugs in my community. In 2009, I buried 6 youth. I invite each and every one of you, the next funeral that I have to bury a youth, I want you to come and look in that coffin with me. And you can really see the devastation of drugs in our community. Tax dollars? Are you kidding me? Seriously? On the backs of our youth? On the backs of our generation? Isn't it amazing that the fine in this bill for selling to youth is $100? What does that tell us? Isn't this really about our youth and our next generation? Come into my community. I was raised in the community of Oak Park. I want you to see the devastation of illicit drugs. I want you to see the crime that we have to deal with. I want you to clearly understand that if marijuana is legalized, and we have to deal with it in our liquor stores, and we have to deal with it in our corner stores, and we have to deal with it in our community, I want you to jot this down. You have never seen a devastation like you're going to see. Why in the world would we want to legalize one more drug and to say it's going to cure our economy? Well, what's it going to do in my community is cause us to lose a generation. Is it really worth it? Alcohol is legalized. Tobacco is legalized. The third drug is pharmaceutical drugs. And our youth are dying every day. I plead with you to really think about this carefully and to clearly understand that this might not cause a devastation in your community, but in my community we already have a problem that we can't overturn already have a serious problem that we are trying to deal with. We're talking about public safety. Follow me around one day. Walk in my shoes one day. Contact me one day and say, Bishop Allen, I want to walk with you through your community. It would change your mind. 3 weeks ago, we just buried a young lady, 21 years old. Ecstasy. I know you're thinking, what is causing all this passion from this man? I am a recovered addict myself. 7 years on crack cocaine. Oh, don't let this caller fool you. I have firsthand experience of what an addiction will cause. And to tell me, and I have to tell my colleagues, that we're talking about a public safety committee that's thinking about legalizing drugs and absolutely understand that it would increase the usage 20 to 40%. And you wonder why we're outraged? By the way, my first choice of drug was marijuana. And I graduated to crack cocaine. Listen to my heart. I don't think you want this blood on your hands. I would love to have all your numbers, phone numbers, because I have a real strong feeling that I'm going to bury more youth in 2010. And I'd like for you to be there. And the six we buried, of course, was drug related. Think about it before you vote. Think about the devastation, the carnage. Think about the youth. Think about the next generation. Come on. Seriously. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bishop Allen. And I'm going to ask the rest of the witnesses, and Chief, I know you just got in. If you, I'm going to try to get your name, state your organization, you know, obviously oppose or support. We have had a full day of hearing on this. This is last year. A lot of these issues are brought up, and we definitely have passion on both sides. I definitely see that. But we do have also 18 other bills to take up today. Thank you. Chief, go ahead. Name and organization, please.
I'm Carla Lowe, a 33-year volunteer anti-drug activist representing Californians for Drug-Free School. Just to remind you that 30 years ago, Keith Strope, then the first director of NORML, National Organization to Reform Marijuana Law, said in Atlanta, if we can get marijuana accepted as a medicine, it will be the red herring we need to see it legalized. Here we are, 30 years later, discussing the issue. We're strongly opposed. Thank you.
Thank you. Is any other oppositions up? If not, we'll entertain committee questions at all. No committee questions? Mr. Chairman, you may close.
Thank you, members. And, you know, we did have a informational hearing on this matter earlier, and it was very edifying. We heard different points of view on the issue. I certainly have a respect for the opposition and don't doubt their sincerity and obviously their passion. However, I have to ask you to discount some of the alarmist ad hominem remarks made. All have been disputed at one time or another, particularly in around the polemic of medical marijuana. The idea that we're just doing this for the money is putting words in the proponent's mouth. I can't be clear enough to tell you, as a grandfather and as a teacher, as a former board member, a Board of Education member, the way it exists now is harming our youth inexorably. Drug dealers do not ask for ID. We need to regulate something that has gone chaotic, has resulted in carnage. I understand it's not everybody's cup of tea, but we cannot exist in a world as it happens today in and around the enforcement of marijuana. There was a movie once called Reefer Madness. Some of the arguments today reminded me of that. It doesn't allow for education. It doesn't allow for a discourse as we had during the information hearing. As for let me correct some of the things that were said. The fine for selling to youth is not $100. We are maintaining existing law in this area. In Portugal, marijuana was legalized and crime has gone down, and money that has been spent on incarceration was shifted to treatment, which will happen here in California. We will be able to fully fund Prop 36. You can't drive under the influence. You can't be 21 to smoke marijuana. I understand that this issue is bigger than California. There is an initiative on the California ballot. We, as a legislator, will need to exercise appropriate control if that initiative does pass. This is a public policy issue. There'll be quality control. I know people are talking about how potent the marijuana is today. That is because it's not regulated. Those issues can be addressed with regulation. In addition, this conversation will be happening on a national level. There are a number of bills submitted on the federal level that mirror what this legislation calls for. It's really time, ladies and gentlemen, to look at this as a public policy issue, to exercise the responsibility we have as legislators to address the carnage, the chaos that the current state of marijuana is portraying here in California. I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess at this time we'll entertain a motion.
Any questions? Mr. Chair, I regret that I missed the first part of this hearing, but I do want to I do want to move the bill. And I do want to explain my motion and my at least preliminary support for the bill today. I am not supporting marijuana. I'm not in favor of it. I don't use it. I don't want my kids to use it. I don't want anyone's kids to use it. I feel the same way about smoking. I will say, though, the question is, I think today, how we regulate it. And is it time to have a serious debate in the state of California about a more rational approach to what I see, by almost every measure, is a failed criminalization policy. Doesn't mean that we support or want to encourage the use of marijuana. It means, in my opinion, it's time to have a serious public debate about, is there a more rational way to regulate it and to deal with this in our public policy? So I commend the author for wading into, obviously, a very controversial issue where there's a lot of passion. This is a provocative bill, but I think the time has come to move the debate forward, so I'd like to move the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Huffman. The motion is due pass the Health Committee by Mr. Huffman. Is there a second? Okay. Second by the chairman. I guess we'll do a roll call vote, please. I asked for a discussion, but yeah, please do.
Thank you. This is a difficult issue because we are in a situation in our state right now where we have, due to our voters' passage of the Medical Marijuana Initiative, we have a semi-legalized state now around marijuana. And we have, while there is some very legitimate use of marijuana for medicinal purposes, that is a real serving a real need, we have a certain class of our population that, because they're not at risk due to their job category and for other various reasons, can utilize the medical marijuana dispensaries for their use of marijuana for whatever reasons they choose to use marijuana. But we have then the street activity around marijuana that is not under the semi-legal state of the medical marijuana. So we've created again this kind of both a class difference around its use and its criminalization and a kind of no man's land around the legality. And I think it's untenable. We're also facing a situation where the voters could once again act to, by initiative, to decriminalize. And then, if that, whatever flaws that may be in that initiative, won't be able to be corrected except again by going back to the voters. So I feel that we as a legislature need to begin this dialogue. And we need to begin to regulate this drug that is in as we know, significant usage amongst the population of our state, amongst most age groups, and is creating problems, is all the things that our opponents raised are legitimate issues. And legitimate, as a mother, my daughter now is gainfully employed out of her high school years. But while she was a teenager, I absolutely did not want her smoking pot. I know what the studies are of marijuana's impact on the brain development of teenagers. I absolutely did not want her to. And clearly it being illegal, you know, was somewhat of a deterrent. But, you know, we know that alcohol and pot are both illegal. Lots of things, cigarettes are illegal, but kids, if they have access to them, use them. And it is much harder to control the substance if we don't regulate it more coherently. And we also don't want to have a situation that we're facing now where we have the cartels coming in. We've got our public lands. I was on the board of the East Bay Regional Park District, where we had these cartels basically going into our public lands, tapping into our water systems, and growing pot illegally. Now, yes, certainly under the current law, we could bust them, but we are not recovering any of the cost for our law enforcement activity, the activity that's hurting our communities, the treatment, prevention, or any of that. So while I certainly am not advocating that we regulate this solely and only to have some sort of revenue or in any way to balance our budget, because it is not adequate to do so whatsoever, I do want to try to make sense of how we approach this drug in our state and its use, and how we recover the costs that we incur as a state from its use and from all of the impacts that it has. And so I think that it's very important to begin this dialogue. I think there's some serious flaws in this particular bill. I don't think that the fees are adequate. They aren't adequate to cover what our real law enforcement costs will be, nor are they adequate to cover the treatment. I don't think the fines are adequate, but I'm willing to support the bill right now to continue the dialogue. I am not at this moment willing to support the initiative because I don't think that this kind of activity, it should be governed by initiative. I think that's put us in enormous amount of trouble. We have seen multiple times where initiatives get passed because we as the legislature or you know, have not acted, and then we are all the victims to laws that cannot be changed other than by voter action. So I am willing to support this bill to get this dialogue going and to invite law enforcement to work with us to develop the proper regulation for this drug to minimize its impacts both criminally and addictively and the other impacts that it has on our culture.
Mr. Chair?
Please, Mr. Hill.
Thank you. And I appreciate the comments of my colleagues, Mr. Huffman and Ms. Skinner, and agree with everything that they've said. I'm going to be voting yes on this measure today. But I don't like the bill. I wouldn't vote for it on the floor in the form that it is today. But I do think it's important that we continue that dialogue. And I don't think we should construe that I would support it because I'm voting for it today. The issue for me is that we have to keep that discussion going. The point is, as my chief, who is sitting here in front of us today, Susan Manheimer, stated, you can't wait to hear the health effects in the health committee. Or the chief from El Cerrito was saying 2 hours of testimony is not enough. That's exactly correct. It is not enough for this discussion. The governor raised the issue last year. It's a national issue that needs to be discussed. The concern I have, the fear I have, is that all the public will have to base their decision on in November, if the measure that's before the voters are gathering signatures today, that the only information they'll have is the hype, hyperbole, and sound bites that will come from a campaign. That's not where the discussion should take place. It should take place in the halls and in the committee rooms of this Capitol and in this building. That's where we should have that discussion. And at the end of the day, we can all make well-informed, intelligent decisions. I mean, the testimony today was compelling. I had a meeting last week with my chief, I think the greatest chief in the state, Susan Manheim, and my district attorney, and the sheriff, who made some compelling arguments and raised some issues that I wasn't familiar with before, especially the health issues. But for me, it became critical and became even more important that those issues need to be made public. They need to be made in a forum that will accommodate everyone. So that's why I'm going to support this bill today, is to move it to the next step. And as I said, I wouldn't vote for it on the floor in the form that it is today. I don't like it, and I don't know what my philosophy is, my particular position is related to marijuana or the decriminalization of it is for California, because I haven't heard all the facts yet. I'm just beginning to gain that. And my opinion over the years has changed radically in how I would look at it. So I will vote for today to move that discussion to the next step. And that's it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Hill. Mr. Gilmore.
You recognize me?
Yes.
Thank you. I don't know where to begin. It's pretty much has been said here today. And I'll keep my comments somewhat brief. Having spent 31 years in a uniform as a California Highway Patrolman, it has been mentioned today about the revenue that's going to be generated here. I would like to say that this bill imposes a tax or a fee that increases $50 per ounce for marijuana, but the revenue of which would be required to be expended exclusively for drug education, awareness, and rehabilitation programs under the jurisdiction of the Department of Alcohol and Drug Programs or any successor to that agency. We're going to legalize marijuana. We're going to tax it. And then we're going to educate our kids about the harms of drugs. You've got to be kidding me. I believe this is a classic example of the slippery slope. What's next? Are we going to legalize methamphetamines, cocaine? I urge my colleagues on this board today to vote no. Stop this bill now. It doesn't need to go to the floor. I urge a no vote on this.
Thank you, Mr. Gilmore. Mr. Furtani.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. It's interesting, the comments prior to this meeting, there's been obviously a lot of discussion going on amongst proponents and opposition and amongst all of us relative to a very controversial issue, to say the least. Like my colleagues have said in the dais about not wanting their children to use marijuana, people stating that their grandparents and parents, etc. I fit in all those categories, but I would add one other. I'm a product of the 60s myself. I don't plan to be a Supreme Court justice, so I will say that I've inhaled. And I think a lot of people in this audience have. And I think because of that concrete experience, we know that what marijuana can do or can't do. And amongst our young people in our community, I don't see it as productive. That's my problem. The whole issue that we're dealing with today, I think, is too much of a quantum leap to have the discussion that everybody is seeking. I think a good compromise would be to have a bill to talk about the study of the impacts of the potential legalization, to look at the success or failure of the situation relative to crime and the issue of punishment. And for me, I'm in total opposition to this bill. I don't think it's going to get us to where we want to go relative to this discussion that we're all talking about. And I also feel that looking at all these cameras, I hope we have all these cameras around when we talk about the budget and we talk about the need for jobs, and we talk about other priorities that I think we need to put and invest our energy in rather than this particular issue at this time. I'm not saying it doesn't warrant the discussion. I'm not saying that it's insincere from our author by any means. I know it's an important issue to him and to those that spoke on behalf, but I'm telling you, this is neither the time nor the place. There's other things on our plate that are slopping over on the sides that are going to have an impact on our communities far greater and far more devastating than what we're talking about here. So I think if we want to look at this bill, we should amend this bill to be a study bill to look at the impacts, and then we could have hearings on it in all phases of it, not only in health, but all phases of this, so that we could then have the informed decision that people are talking about. And I think that as it becomes a potential initiative in a future election, it's going to cause a lot of controversy, a lot of emotion, and I don't know how productive it's going to be. So that would be my suggestion. I'm going to vote no on this bill today.
Thank you, Mr. Furutani. I'll go ahead and make some comments, too, and I want to thank, first of all, thank the chairman for actually bringing up something that we could discuss, because I think my first year here, we did not have enough discussions on complex issues, and obviously this is one that's facing California and the rest of the nation, will be for a long time. Even saying that, having a one-day hearing or half-a-day hearing and right now a little over about an hour worth of testimony debate over something that's so life-changing to California, I think does not do us justice. I heard from the three of my colleagues so far that they would like to push this on, moving on. You know, that's one of the few things we hear on our side of the aisle, because usually we find one thing wrong with one of our bills and it's something to, you know, put it back in, rebake it, come back out next year. This issue needs to be discussed more, but this bill is not the avenue to do that. I have seen the effects of drug use firsthand in my professional career for the last 25 years. It is not overly stated when the opposition came up and said this, both medically, both criminal justice-wise, the cost on families and careers, and just the justice system. It's not something I could go tell my 9-year-old or my 13-year-old that we're making something legal. At the same time, it's harmful for you, so I'm going to send you to a drug class and teach you how to do this, or what's the cause and effects of these things. It's not something I'm willing to do to my children as well. One of the provisions in this bill is that the fines and the cost or the criminalities of using a minor to sell marijuana has stayed the same, but the actual cost or the fine or to sell to a minor, I believe, is $100. I mean, that's just, it's going to be the cost of doing business on the black market. This bill is not the right vehicle for this. We saw the effects of the voters voting the legalizing medical marijuana, and I believe our society and Californians have a very compassionate heart. When the story was brought to them that a few small sections of society needs marijuana for their medical health and for their truly quality of life, that's when the voters voted that in. We've seen since that experiment happened that it has not played out the way everyone thought it would be. In LA City, there's more dispensaries than our Starbucks now. There's anyone that could walk in the store and buy the stuff right now without much of repercussions. That's not the intent, I believe, of the voters when they passed that initiative. We could talk about the decriminalizing all we want here in California. The bottom line, it still will be a criminal act in the federal the laws, and that even if we give a free pass to our residents, the federal government may not, and that they may go to jail on top of it. So I think we give them a false sense of security if we pass this bill out, too. So for these reasons, I am going to oppose this bill as well, and I urge my colleagues that this is not the first time we're going to see it or the last time, that we can go back and we can go work on different things. We can go do a study. We can make a bill better. We don't have to pass this out today. If nothing else, we'll ask for a roll call vote, I guess.
Armiano?
Aye.
Armiano, aye. Hagman?
No.
Hagman, no. Furutani?
No.
Furutani, no. Gilmore?
No.
Gilmore, no. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Huffman? Huffman, aye. Skinner.
Aye.
Skinner, aye. The bill's out.
Thank you.
All right. There you have it. Yes, indeed, folks. It did pass committee and is going to assembly to the floor. We'll have an update tomorrow, so tune in for the Tuesday edition of Hemp Rock Radio.
She was living in a single room with three other individuals. One of them was a male, and the other two, well, the other two were females. God only knows what they were up to in there. And furthermore, Susan, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised to learn that all four of them habitually smoke marijuana cigarettes. Reefers.
Makes me feel alright.
joints, and then I smoked two more.
Thanks for listening to Hemp Rock Radio on WVQC Cincinnati at WVQC.org, a member of Media Bridges, Cincinnati's Community Media Center. Hemp Rock Radio airs every Monday and Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern on WVQC.org.
Son, you be hardworking man. And mama, she once told me, son, you do the best you can. But then one day, I met a man who came to me and said, yeah, hard work good and hard work fine, but first take care of head.
Check out Hemp Rock TV programs in Northern Kentucky on Insight Channel 21 and in Cincinnati on Media Bridges Channel 4, Metro 24. Find Hemp Rock on the web at HempRock.com or on the Hemp Rock Hemp Line at 513-684-HEMP.
Find Hemp Rock Radio Archives at WEEDRadioNetwork.com. Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress and the Burn Man has been a Hemp Rock production. Up next is Cincinnati's Conscience with Jay Allday, where hippie meets the hood.